of the Lord. It's Jeremiah 31:10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles, islands or coastlands, afar off. And say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. You know, Jesus, the Lord said this gospel should be first preached among all the nations. And sometimes we think that it begins here and then goes from here to the other nations. But really, we're the ends of the world, aren't we? We're the islands that are afar off. And if you consider Iran, which is Persia, 2,500 years ago, King Cyrus in the Bible was following Jesus. Queen Esther was there. And we're talking about this is a nation that was, of course, pagan first, but then Christian far before it was ever Muslim. And both these brothers are from Iran. So Farshad and Muhammad.
Good morning. Good morning.
And what we'll do this morning is just, we're going to let them share. So I'm going to sit because they're going to be doing the talking. And I'll just sort of ask them some questions. And then maybe at the end, if there's time as well, we'll let you ask some questions. So, Farshad, we've had a great time the last day. And we met some months ago and stuff as well. But we've had good fellowship, true brotherhood, and wonderful. So, Farshad, can you tell us just what your life was like, and did you grow up? Well, how did you grow up? What kind of home? What kind of spiritual life did you have? And then, how did you come to Christ? Whoa!
Firstly, I want to say hello to you from myself and my wife. I hope we can put their picture.
I'll do that
to show them. My wife's name is Nadere. And we have two sons. They are Aryan, 13, and Nathan is... Aryan is 13 now, and Nathan is 6 years old. It's a pleasure for me to have opportunity to be with you, with Brother Muhammad, my good friends and brother. And we had wonderful time with Pastor Cameron, his wife and family yesterday, and we blessed of this time. I'm 44 years old, and I grew up in a Muslim background family in Iran, the country that the news call Iran terrorists. People, most of American people, maybe Canadian people, know Iran as terrorists. It's a face of Iran. The other face is another one. And that we want to share about the other face of Iran, because Satan sometimes want to show bad something, but God can help this bad for his will. And I want to share about myself, how Jesus came to my life, and what about Iran in these times, how Christ is moving in Iran. Then I will use a book that its name is Iranians in the Bible. The author is Alan Hunsinger. Alan Hunsinger? Alan Hunsinger. You can buy it. I don't sell it, but you can find it maybe in internet. So many information about Iran in the Bible. Then I will share something from first pages that he said about Iran in the Bible. When I was a child, my mother and my father was every time they had challenge in their life. My mother was very active Muslim, And my father was not. Went out with his friends and alcohol, sometimes drug, and didn't care about family. And I grew up in this family. Then it was very bad childhood for me, my brother. He's in Vancouver now. He's 3 years younger than me. And my sister in Iran, she's 10 years. We passed bad childhood. And when I grow up in young ages, I went to the scenes. So many bad things, as bad relationships, alcohol, like my father. I hated my father is the smoking cigarettes, but I went to cigarettes. I hated my father is the drinking alcohol. When he drank alcohol, he came to the home at midnight and beat my mother. I can memorize these memories. But when I came in young ages, I did what my father did. Its meaning of sin is what integral پیدا میکنه, transfer to the generation. And I was in bad situation my young ages, and when I came to 20s, 24, 25, 6, it worser. And I could, I did pray in Islamic style, and I same time I did sins, both together. I couldn't understand myself why I'm praying in Islam, why I have sinned. And I was very sad. I was very in depression. I couldn't understand my situation. I felt the weight of the sin on my shoulders. And I remember before my faith, I asked myself, is it possible to take off this weight of sin? I didn't know about Jesus at that time, but I asked this question. I think maybe Holy Spirit came to me at that time and touched me at that time. But in when I was in 28, I met my wife Nadere in Iran, and we get married. We decided to get married before our faith, and in short time we decided to come out from Iran, because Iran's situation, government, and atmosphere of Iran was not good for us at that time, and we wanted to have new life. That people think about it. Then we decided to come out together after 4 months of our marriage, 5 months of our marriage, to come out from Iran to go another country like U.S., Canada, Europe. My brother was in Vancouver at that time. We thought maybe we can come to the Vancouver at that time. It was in 1998, end of 1998, and then January of 1999, we came out from Iran to Turkey, and somebody told us, if you go to the United Nations and tell them lie, we are Christian, they accept you to go another country. Then we decided to choose this way to go another country. We wanted to abuse the Jesus' name to go to find new life. Then we went to United Nations in east of Turkey, Van city, and close to Iran, in the border. And we shared with them, we are Christian, we are in persecution, because you know Iran is in persecution, Christians are in persecution. Then they interviewed us. After 14 months, they closed our case and they refused us. They recognized we are not Christian. Yeah. Fortunately. Yeah, it was sad at that time for us. We were very hopeful, hopeless, and we couldn't go back to Iran with shame because we sailed all our staffs. We couldn't go another country, and at that time, Turkey was very bad for us. We passed very hard time at that time, 1999, 2000, and 2001. In 2002, a group of Christian ministry, Iranian ministry, its name is Ilam Ministry, a group of Christian, those working among Persian speakers, they called me in our city. They called me and they told me, we hear you are Christian. I said, yes, we are Christian. I hope maybe this group can help us to go another country. Then they said, can you help us to go to the refugee people and share gospel? Yes, please come. Then they came from England and they came from Istanbul to our home. We invited them. There were four people. And we take them to the Iranian people, Iranian refugee people, and home by home we heard about gospel. Then finally God touched our hearts, and my wife and me, we came to the Lord in 2002, July. Yeah. I want to share about my faith when I understood during the prayer time. A brother came to me and put his hand on me, and when he prayed for me, God revealed gospel to me, and I remembered my question, that is it possible to take off my sins? And at that time I felt all of my sin are going, not 1 second, about 20 minutes I filled it, and I crying and crying and crying. I felt empty myself of all of my sins at that time. And same time, my wife and me, God called us to serve Him for all of our life. Then we decided to stay in Turkey. After 2 years, we decided to stay in Turkey because it is one of our main messages from God. In 2004, when they left us, after this group left us in 28 days, we stayed in one with so many people. Those came to the Lord in 28 days, and God used us to serve them. We were very young in the faith. We read Bible for our case, and when Holy Spirit came on us, he helped us to help these people, help ourselves, and we grow together. And in 2004, we became 40 people, and so many doors came became open to go another country. We could go back to Iran because we had not any shame because of our faith. And one of my friends invited me to the Cyprus, my wife and me, to Cyprus to help him in ministry in Cyprus among Iranian people. And my brother at that time was, as I say, in Vancouver. He went to the church and his pastor says, I can help your brother to come here. Then three doors became open at that time, 2004, 2 years after our faith. And we cried to the Lord by fasting and praying with my wife, please give us a clear message where you want us. We know you want us for all of our life, but where it's very important for us where you want us to be. And After 1 week of fasting and praying, this group invited us to a conference in Istanbul, and another sister from Africa, South Africa, came to me in this conference. Nobody knows about this prayer, short prayer. Please give us clear message when, where you want. And she came to me and told me, you did this prayer, and God wants you to stay in this country, Turkey. It is the fourth option. We didn't give the Lord the fourth option, but God gave us the fourth option for himself. Then we continued in Turkey till 2014. And because of our... In 2011, our passport expired, Iranian passport expired, and we went to renew it in Iranian embassy, and they didn't give back this passport to us. Then we forced to go to United Nations again, but this time was different. We did pastoring about 9 years in Istanbul Church. After in 2005, we passed a training in Istanbul, and our leaders asked us to stay in Istanbul and do pastoral ministry with my wife and to another guy. And we had wonderful time in Istanbul, fruitful time in Istanbul. We brought some pictures here after the time. You can see the pictures of people, those came to the Lord. Hundreds of people came to the Lord. Thousands and thousands of people heard about gospel in Turkey by our church, by our ministry, by grace of God. Mm-hmm. And then in 2008, we prayed again for we love God, for our ministry. God gave us another message to be father and mother for young leaders. Then after that, God gave us so many young people. They came to the Lord and they grow, and now they are in ministry. Then you can see the fruit of God's work in us, mm-hmm, by grace of Him. And now I'm freedom. I have freedom now. We are here with my family, and we are thinking about back the people that they are staying in Turkey. And we have another couple of spiritual children. We send them to Armenia to continue ministry among Iranian people, and we are praying for them. And our goal today is to introduce Iran and Persian speakers to you to pray for them. Mm-hmm. Then I want to share about something in this book. It say Cyrus and Darius?
Darius. King Darius.
Khashayarsha. What's the Khashayarsha? Ahasuerus.
Ahasuerus.
And mm-hmm, Esther, Daniel, mm-hmm, they are the names that in the Bible, and they were in Iran. And I will share a part of Isaiah with you, that Isaiah prophesied about Cyrus in Isaiah 44. Verse 28, Isaiah 44, we will read some verses from the Bible. Isaiah 44, verse 28.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah. Do you want?
Yeah. He who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure.
saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid.
May I ask to continue 45, 1, 2, 3, 4,
Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me.
Five, please.
I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me.
These promises is 150 years before Cyrus is born. Cyrus was born?
Yeah.
Was born. 150 years. His name and this promise, he say, he is my pastor, my shepherd. He is my shepherd, and I anointed him. And it happened later. And he say, it say, you don't know me, but I will equip you to help my people. And Cyrus will do it. And in Acts.
Acts 2.
Acts 2. When Holy Spirit come in Pentecost Day, there are 13 nations that Scripture put their names here in 2:9, 2:9, 10:11. I think about it's about 13 nations. The first nation is Iranian here.
Parthians, Medes, Elamites.
Elamites, yeah. Then Iran is not a Muslim country, actually. Islam came later and by force. And, you know, Iranian people, after the Pentecost Day, went to China to share the gospel. And so many people, a strong church established for hundreds of years there, and one of Iranians went to Armenia to share the gospel, and now Armenia is Christian country by name. It's the fruit of Iranian people, but now Iranian people are in the terrible situation because of Islam and because of the government. But we are here to introduce our people. Our people are very thirsty, like me. They need to pray. So many of them, they understood this is not the real God, Islam God. And they love the God. They are seeking God. And this is the good opportunity for us during this time to share the gospel with them. And so many people, during this 35 years ago, when Islamic Revolution became to Iran, they say about 1 million people came to the Lord. At that time, maybe 5,000, 10,000 people, traditional Christian was from Muslim background so much, but about 1 million people came to the Lord, and they need to pray. They need to pray. Iran need your prayer. And my brother Muhammad want to share his testimony if you have not.
Yeah, Muhammad, I told people you were from Iraq. I thought you were. I don't know why I thought that, but you're not. From Iran. Yeah. Muhammad's also from Iran. And great brother, just share your story.
You know, I'm a little bit more polished than our brother, so I just...
You got to hold the mic up.
Not that fresh out of a boat, so my... I got out of a boat and put the dynamite in so I can't go back. I was actually at the young age of 18, I left Iran 27 years ago. And young, I was a young soccer player, you know. So you young people have hope. Yeah, and I grew up in the family that pretending to be a Muslim, you know. They're not dedicated. So my mother just did the ritual thing 5 times a day. But behind the scene was exact opposite. You know, and my father was communist and no God, you know, picture Muslim and communist married together and end up having Christian child, huh? None of them were great example. Otherwise, I would be a follower of them. That's why today I say a lot of Muslims, which they come to Christian, and they ask me, why aren't you Christian? I said, thank God I am Christian, because I had a role model of both, and they were not.
I'm going to put this mic on you. You move too much.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. I got my speaker built on in me, you know. When I came out of my mama, I was so loud and just tried to give me a suitor to shut me up and shove the cow bones in my mouth. So I got the speaker built in. But really, I had no example in that young age. And as I was a soccer player a lot in the sport, I always need coach, mentoring, you know, and especially for someone who has a fruit under tree. If you're a soccer player and say, let's go play it, let's go put a word in action. But I had no example in that young age, and I had a friend who escaped to America through Mexico in that time. All the way escape, huh? Legally, illegal passport, do whatever it takes to get to the land of freedom. And he came to Hawaii, write me a postcard, and send it back home. In those days, it just take 1 month for... There were no internet, so phone was so expensive. And then he says, heaven on earth is here. Get yourself here. And then it started a fire in me that I'm going to leave the country. We see so many disasters, and as today you see a lot of people from Islamic countries says, we serve a God of peace. Oh, you can only fool Canadian or American. You cannot fool us. We live in those lands, and you lie. In the name of Allah, they do so many worse things. Hanging people, executing their own people, their own Muslim. So we saw everything in that young age. And today I tell any other people, you got Palestinian, you got Saudis, you got Pakistanis, just bring it to us, because they lie to you. But they can't lie to us. We've lived there and grew up there. They even execute their own brothers, their own sister, you know, their own mothers, their own parents. Have no mercy on their own families. As you see that today, and a lot of people even in ISIS, they hate their parents. It says they leave their wife. We want to serve Allah. And so grew up in that situation, but come a few years after the Iran-Iraq war, and I see so many terrible things in the war. And I went to my father, I says, I'm going to leave this land. You know, somehow you want to protect your own land if you're young, if you agree with the government. But when you see the wrong thing, it says, for who? For who should I go to war? They ran out of the people in the front line and recruit the young ones. But just went through a short period of training, and the time came, and I saw a good friend of ours, his sister got shot. They would not give a bodies, and don't want to get too much to the detail, but it adds up, stayed there to the point. So all the families are here, you know, the one who from Middle East, we're very close to each other. But it says, if we stay here, Dad, you have to come to our funeral and bury us. And cemeteries were all full. There were no land. They just built it on top of each other with the concrete blocks. And then I decided to leave Iran and at least bring that body, show it to people. How come you're quiet? It's like right now I tell a lot of Christians, how come you're quiet? You have the light shine toward divorcees, shine toward alcoholism, shine toward pornography, shine toward... There's a lot of them in North America here. We got the answer. Don't worry about it. Just let the Christ do the work. You know, and left Iran with 20 Baha'is, 20 people toward Pakistan. Huh? We didn't know where we coming. I thought coming to Europe. But we didn't know. And the east side, Iran, is neighbor with Pakistan. And we came from the worst to the worst. Pakistan is terrible. In that time, right now, is the most dangerous place to live. I always carry guns and say there's no safety or security there. We just try to run away from cops. If you guys been in Pakistan, there is no laws. Everything bribery, and they catch you, they get your money, put you in prison, and whatever reason. But plan to escape to America. We had no passport. You had to go to military to obtain the passport. It's Iranian passport is not worth it than dollar store notebook. At least dollar store notebook we can write on, but Iranian passport less than $1.25. You can't get visa for nowhere. You're representative of government. Where are you going to go? Nowhere. So in those days, we had a lot of families with us too. We got lost in the middle of between Iran and Iraq. Yeah. A lot of unjust, and people getting the law in their own hand. That's what corruption is there, because rebellious and pride, they cannot submit to the law of a land. The guy picks up his own gun, the guy picks up his own knife, gets a law. It becomes like a barbarian. That's what it is right now there, because there's nothing to submit to, no law to be followed. There's no unification, no harmony and unity in the family infrastructures and like. Same thing. No respect for the family. No respect for the wife. No respect for the husband, for the kids. So it's a zoo. It's a jungle you live into. So you always have to protect yourself against any violence, any misjudgment. So I spent 18 months in Pakistan, and most of the Baha'is, they had support of the Mahfal from their own organization, which is a branch of Islam, and Baha'is are unique together, united, but false belief. Same as Armenian, were there too, like from Iran, and small minority of Orthodox, and they says our life is in danger. Their life were not in danger. They just could not find easy access to alcohol or women, so they use Christ. We are Christians. Now, I used to play with a team in Iran, Ararat, which is the Armenian, so they invite me to the church and they take communion. And when we left the church, they do a lot of other nonsense things. So I said, what are you guys using in the name of Christ in vain for your own excuses to leave from Iran? Just tell them the truth. We could not find alcohol to be drunk. We could not find a woman. So we just want to go to make a case easy for yourself. And they always hated me. It says, we love you because you speak the truth. I says, that'll give you freedom. That'll give you freedom. Same thing that, like our brother, I use Christianity as a bridge to come to America. You know, first interview, I got rejected. God had a good sense of humor. And it says, then I plan to escape by boat, by ship, come to New York from Karachi. And there's another port close to Karachi too. And through the Iran and Iraq war and Afghanistan and ex-Soviet Union, American will send the weapons to Karachi and by land go toward Afghanistan and fight toward ex-Soviet Union. But I want to help other people too. I always have it in my heart. Bring 28 people by 55 days, be in the water and get to the United States. Hopeless situations, drugs was to the extreme in Pakistan, you know, between Pakistan and Afghanistan, and a lot of violence. So we use it, our skills, been trained a little bit, and really stayed in the situation. See, God has really planned, and we're not going to stay there. We're going to keep on going. And we had a couple of sergeants escape from the war. They were with us and tried to get the youngest one, 3 years old, all the way to 65 years old, and hide them in the container ship, you know, to come. And through that tough situation, the ports are all secured. But first time I attempted that, I got to the ship late, actually. They go on time. There's a 10-foot wall you have to climb, the broken glass, barbed wire, and through the wartime there's security because all the import and export is controlled, and get to the boat and like a hide and seek. If they find you, they put you, arrest you and interrogate you and put you in prison. Or if you make it, you make it for freedom. So that was the deal, like do or die. So when you get to that situation, your God-given talent and ability work, for at least in the survivor mode. You know, sometimes we have these TV shows and they make a big deal of it. Survivor show. The real survivor show is a matter of life and death. And what God's going to intend for us to do, just to stay on the peace side, but protect yourself. So second one, I got captured 2 days, 2 hours before international water in the Indian Ocean. And so I want to pave the path for other people to come too, and then send me back again with the Coast Guard, got arrested, handcuffed, took a picture on the way to prison. And prison over there, you don't want to get into, but I knew it if they get me there, and they can't get me out. So I got a couple of physical fights and broke a couple of hands and escaped to Karachi. When you come out of a door, my wife always said, "Did you kill anyone?" I said, "No." Well, I broke a couple of hands, and by now they healed. So it's 27 years ago. So, but third one, it was I attempted the American ship. I didn't know. And it was one of the toughest ports. And my testimony is like a Rambo style, you know. That time of the movie First Blood came. How many of you remember, huh? The First Blood movie? They were just... So we watched so much movie in Pakistan too, you know, the movie lovers. So we watched this movie out. So we pretend like we can do it too. So it was just... So we exercise and keep everyone in the good shape. Wake them up first thing in the morning from 2 years old till 55 years old. I remember the old lady says, "I will catch up, I will come, you go, you know." So we prepared them in a good spirit and good shape to can stay for 55 days alive, and we'll make it. And I went 500 meters in 9 hours. It was maximum security in that. Because American ship carries weapon and tanker ship, oil tanker and weapon ship, they have maximum security. And it's all camouflage. Only 8 ships could come in that port. And to get in there, it's like so difficult. It's like going seeing a president of the United States or going seeing Hitler. At maximum security, you know. So somehow I worked on that plan for 9 months, but I got in. Get 2 o'clock in the morning, went, like it took me about 5 hours to go 500 meters, dogs and militaries and all the river, railway tracks, and I get inside the ship and hide myself, and all the ship doors were closed for 5 o'clock in the morning. And I did not know it was a military, it was a cargo ship carrying weapons. I hide myself in the laundry, you know. Open one door and it's a washer, dryer, you know. Which one? So they're going to find me. I find the toilet. Should I flush myself down, hide myself in there, you know? Only 55 days. I can handle stink thing for free now. Why not? You know, I'm willing to pay the price. But pull the table on the corner and hide myself. Like a bench in the front was closed. And I thought I was smart. You know, I usually kept my urine bag empty. But in that time it was full and I had to empty it. And I 2 more hours again. Anytime I denied God, see, you're not doing anything. Like a lot of people today use... God is a reason for injustice in the world. You see crimes, why God not doing anything, like especially now with the ISIS or Africa. So I was using the same thing, God, you know, you're not helping us to get from Iran where we came from. And so I'm going to make it without you. I'm become my own God. So anytime I says that, the door opened, you know, again, I could hear the boots coming toward me, and I was hiding for 46 hours, almost sitting like that, but still have not reached the international water. Somehow they stop, they go, they stop, they go. And then the sound of a boot went for 5 minutes later, came back, and then the siren came up and they brought me up, and I saw only one Marine and black guy. Well, it's like huge guy. Like, I'm a big body too, but he was 7 feet tall. Looked like, hold on a second. What you been eating first before you capture me? They're feeding you elephant? He's so huge. He just picked me up with one hand and shoved, opened my mouth, and because they want to get information out of you so they won't, you won't destroy yourself as with the Sinai. Because you were in the ship, and they want to get how many of you, and where are the bombs? What are you doing here? Anyhow, you know? And they inject tranquilizer in you to get information, to keep your mind fertile. Not, so if you don't sleep for a couple of nights and don't get sleep, will kill you. But you will live without food or sometime without water too. But I was prepared. And I remember it was so funny. And I said, wow, it's real action now. The action just started, you know. Till that part, it was okay, and now action start. So they captured me, brought me in sixth floor and left me for 1 day. And after 1 day, they came and they says, how many are you? I said, how come they didn't come earlier? Because they were searching everything. They couldn't believe anyhow. So then they came and asked me. I said, there's nobody. I'm just by myself. I just want to go to America. It was like, so you... taking a taxi to America, you know, what taxi are you in? I didn't know, so it kept me another day and a half. Then they came back and they said, okay, I want to see the captain. He's the god of the ship. Huh? So they brought me up, and at that point, then I saw all the military uniform. And they had the Iranian pilot for the ship. The ship has two pilots to find directions, but he could speak Iranian because he trained Iranian in Shah time in the United States. So he was my translator. And the captain was so upset and said, how did you get here? He wants to get the information. And all the other lieutenant and stuff, they were just standing in front of him and shame, you know. One Iranian and broke our security system. Huh? I wasn't trained with electronic or anything. Like they had even ropes, 6 meters to the ropes. You could not get close to motion sensor and sound sensor. The alarm will come on. So how did you get here? I says you messed up our security system. And then I couldn't. I says, I don't know. So how did you come? I says, I'm not going to tell you because you're going to close that path. So, and I had this, he's going to take me. So I thought he passed the water. He can't take, he would take me to New York and give me to police or whatever authority. But I says, I cannot. I says, 2 more hours still to that point. But yeah, I have problem. Because 25 years he was captain, and says, and they were court-martial. But I want to share, that's where I come to the end at that age of, because by that time I was 19 and a half. 18 months later, when I left Iran, and fear kicked in, huh? And I got arrested, and I knew at this time it's very serious. First 2 months, I thought, ah, this is funny, you know. But this one, no, they're not fun. They're not joking. They're serious, these people. So, serious American, huh? They were looking at me. You messed up our security system. We're going to do something with you. We know what to do with you. I says, God help me, you know. What are they going to do? Throw me underwater? That's the only thing. So he says, I have responsibility. I cannot take you, but... and rested, and they're going to send me to authority. But the night before, they robed me to the couch. I had shackles. I had handcuffs. I mean, what else? You get the handcuff, you can't do nothing. But shackled and tied me with the rope around the couch. I says, what am I going to do? You're going to find me anyhow. I can't swim 28 hours back. So, but that time I had hopeless situation. I felt myself, why? The fear kicked in, and fear of not they're going to do something to me. Fear of going back and seeing the face of friends and family. We told you you're not going to make it, and they're going to laugh. That was to me. I said, I don't want to face that, you know. Wasn't afraid they're going to put me in prison or torture me. But that night I asked God, if you know, I come a long way. And this is a long way now when I'm sharing with you. But that says, if you get me out of this situations, and I know you exist. You know, I surrender. Swallow my own pride, you know, till now. And you take over, and you have 6 hours. It's like giving him an order. And I said, go to work. Till now, I've been working, you know. I get saved my own. So now I give all to you. You take over. I'm tired. I'm going to get some sleep. I haven't slept. You know, right at 12 o'clock, and I fall asleep. And at 6 o'clock, they brought me up again. And then and I see something touched this captain's heart change. Huh? He becomes softer. Like when they took my shackles off, that was one step. Not, it's kinder. Then they took my handcuff off, you know. And then I could see he brought me orange juice. Wow, that was such a thing in the middle of ocean and never ever tested the orange juice before. Brought me fresh orange juice. So I could see something happening. Then he says, I cannot take it, but I admire your bravery, what you did for your freedom. Something inside me to release you, to let you go, you know. But I cannot take you with me. I have responsibility, and please understand that. And I said, I will clean your ship with my hand cuffed and my shackle, with my tongue. You know, that desperate I was. Take a long time to clean the ship with tongue. And he says, you're kidding me. You can't, even if I would do that. But I showed him that how desperate I am, but don't send me back. That's what I mean. Otherwise, he would have said, okay, start now. It takes me forever. But he wanted to know how desperate I am. And God changed his heart and says, stay here for a few more hours. So he sent one of his Navy ship to brought the fishing boat, and they took me back to the one of the island and dropped me off there after 28 hours. So now at that time, God really, I saw his power in my life that saved me, you know. A lot of people says, I haven't seen God. I say, well, he changed your life, changed your heart. So sometimes our heart changed by his touch, invisible touch, you know. Because we can't see him, we're not pure. A lot of people say, we're serving a God of love. Do you know, you won't even last to see him, you will melt to powder. Because we are impure. And nobody could ever see. Moses even couldn't see him. You know? So, came back and says, I have a better plan for you. I don't want you to go by sea. Come by land. I said, what are you trying to tell me? He said, come northern Pakistan and escape to India. I says, okay. It was for me like taking another cab, you know, different directions. But this time I knew it. He's calling me in that direction. And I went to my brother. But that time he was there. I'm going to go to India. They say, you're crazy. I say, I'm going. Whoever wants to come, come. So one of my friends, which is my brother-in-law right now, came. We went northern Pakistan to Lahore for 3 months there and took a tourist bus which coming from Turkey. They check everyone on the borders. And we had photocopy of Australian passport. And all over there is just bribery, so everything talks if you have money. I got a lot of access to different currency, especially U.S. dollars, the counterfeit one, you know. They could not tell, so I carried a lot of counterfeit money, bought them cheap, so they were so happy, you know. You could buy cops with $100. You don't know, that's counterfeit. Well, I didn't tell them, though. You don't tell them either. So I said, at least this way I can protect myself. Bribery, we didn't have no money, but cross the border and the search bus, this Iranian guy brought 50 kilo of heroin stuck in the, try to smuggle it through to India. The guy, Sardarji, was saying, I want $100,000. This guy, I said, get him, 50 kilo heroin, but what do we have supposed to do? We want him to go across to India. So they captured the guy. After a few hours, they let us go, and then the military came, escorted 500 cars, and it was war between Punjab and in that area. Dangerous. So came to New Delhi. Then a few days later, I met the person who led me to Christ. He was nice and gentle, you know. You can tell God is, after 27 years, it's sanded those rough edges. I still have them, but in that time, it was sharp edges, like this samurai sword, you know, could cut the feather on the air, you know. So this poor guy, he was so calm and nice, you know. And I said, man, the whole world is in war. It's in the flood and you're sleeping. He's so calm. He's so nice. And I told him, what is it in you? I was seeking for that because I was lacked that. I lacked that. I lacked love, compassion, patience, you know. And if you tell me it's a little plant in a small, remotest village of Africa, you have to go in a certain time, pick him, and it's a certain temperature, make him like a tea and drink him, you become like me. I says, I'm on. Where is it? I'm going. Just give me a beginning of a thread or rope. But he says, meet me in tomorrow in this location, in New Delhi. 25 million people, heat of the summer. Thirsty. I was thirsty in the way that what is he going to share with me? Walked 7 hours. I tell the guys, you know, I was thirsty. I walked 7 hours. The church is 5 minutes from you. You make excuses. Or you Bible study. I was thirsty, you know. And the Word of God says, the one who's thirsty, he will find. The one who seeks, who finds. Yeah? So today, look for the seekers, the one who seeks, because I then more receptive. So I went to him and saw him and sit on the table, and I said, so what are you going to share with me? And he threw a Bible, Afghani language is similar to Iranian, but that time Iranian Bible would not translate. It's 28 years ago. So, but we could read. And as soon as I read the cover, Injil Sharif, I throw him back on his face. I says, come on. I don't want to be respectful to you, but I've seen what are you people doing to us in the name of religion. Maybe they're not Christians, but no different. But I says, boy, you know, let me tell you, why do you think Christianity is a religion? I says, I've seen them, they do. They go to the church and take communion, but behind they do something else. I says, no, those are culture. They're Armenian. You know, they're Orthodox. They profess to be a Christian, but they're not. They don't have a personal relationship with Christ. I says, well, how can you have a personal relationship with someone who is dead? I've seen the Muslim one, or they go into the shrine and pray and throw their wealth in there and pray, and they get no answer for their prayer because what they believe is dead. What they want help from can't do nothing. If he could do something, he could get his body out of a grave before he answered my prayer. Make sense? A friend of mine told my mother, she was a Muslim, gave her life to Christ in Seattle area. We have Bible. Says, I don't want to be disrespectful to you, but how many years have you been praying? 55 years, and memorizing Arabic, which is Quran, for 5 times a day. And ask, I don't want to be disrespectful, but be honest with me. Did you receive any answer to your prayer? And she was honest. She said, no. She says, because you're praying to the dead God, to dead person, dead individual. And they shoved it down our throat to believe because we could not think of our own. We didn't have the freedom of checking out different belief systems. That's why when we came out of Iran, we were free, because he says, our ancestor brought us to this mess. I have a lot of Hindu friends, and they says, have you for a moment thought about going checking out Christianity? And not worrying about where you're going to end up and having excuse of your parents, because let me tell you, in the end time, in the judgment day, they cannot save you. And you cannot blame of them. So you go check it out and find out before you worship in 33 million God. So in that point, it would make a lot of sense for me. It says, how do you know, Muhammad, what I'm giving it, introducing to you, you can have relationship with living God. I was 20 years old by that time, 2 years after leaving Iran. It would make a lot of sense. And I challenged a lot of people. It says, living? How could it be? It says, yeah. Only different Jesus resurrected after the third day. 20 years old, understood that concept. Makes sense. Which today I use it too. It says, doesn't it worth it to spend the rest of your life having a relationship with the living God? Or you alive having a relationship with, you can't have a relationship with dead God. Doesn't it make sense for you to check it out? And you can change and you can convert. You can come. Living God can give you living life, new life. And made sense to me. I says, show it to me. I said, yeah, he resurrected, came overcome the debt. That means he's the only one can forgive your sin. Only one you can go to and says, what have I done in the past? And I talked to a lot of Muslim people too from different backgrounds. I said, man, we've done wrong. Don't make yourself a righteous. You only have a hype on your chest, which is empty. And if I pick up a needle and make a hole in that chest, well, that Christ did exactly to me. He says, hollow, empty inside. Why don't you give it to me? I'll make something out of it. So I said, really? So yeah. So how could it be? He said, meet me in 2 days. I always these 2 days, you know, fishing me. I was a shark one, rough, tough one. So again, 7 days, didn't come pick me up, you know. If you have some Muslim friend, you don't need to pick him up. Says, we're here. If he's thirsty, he will come, you know. Or from different belief. But went, he took me to the church. He was a building, 400 people were from different nations were worshiping God. But at that point, I made a decision personally to give my life to the Lord. Give him a chance to work in my life. Because I made a mess out of it. I was just sick of tired of running it my own. And sick of tired of letting my parents inherit the stupidity of the generations that did not wise enough to check it out. Why are we worshiping a dead God? No wonder they were dead themselves. I said, I don't want to become like them. I says, who cares about my father? I respect him, but I'm old enough, mature enough to save my future generations. That's what the problem is. They always worry about the past. Don't worry about the past. Worry about the future, that serving a living God and for generations to come, serving a living God and God who can use, God of love, and can build and bless the generations come in the future. That's what I always tell people. So that day I made a decision. I remember I was so excited and came up to the stage, and when they did the altar call, we had a chubby American pastor, you know, you're American, and says, Kentucky Fried Chicken. No, just kidding. So much fast food, though. How can I lift you up? But he was little and chubby, was easy to lift up, huh? Lift him up, turn him around, say, put me down, put me down. The coin was coming out of his pocket. That day, the Holy Spirit came upon. So excited, you know, because I was so tired of running my own life. I give it all to him. And that day, give it my life to the Lord. And I will finish it with my baptism story. They went out of New Delhi. And so I was that day, okay, so what's next? And I was excited. The life just began. Huh? I came from taking order, and I went to my pastor. So what is next? And says, you got to get baptized, but it's next week, but we're going to go. I said, what are you guys doing tomorrow? So I was always man of action. So what's next? So we're going to these villages and praying for these lepers. Yeah, I'm coming. Say, sure. And like, we are bringing, like in here, we accept Christianity and says, like, don't depart from your word, you know. And over there, I was so excited. So what do I have to do next? You know, I was man of doer and says, you don't have to do anything, but you just come pray. I said, can I come? I said, yeah. He didn't say, no, you have to be baptized first. Or say, yeah, come. I said, okay. Went around Agra, you know, around New Delhi to the villages and Batsy too. I remember my first time prayed for the leprosy for 9 years. He was covering his face. But I thought I loved to be a vessel in God's hand, no matter what the situation is, because he's the one ultimate does the work too. I just have to, I've been commanded to lay hands on the sick and with his authority and pray for that individual. So right at that point, I put the faith to works, you know, and it worked. It really worked. It really worked. But till that point, I said, I don't want to be a bent hose to stop the running water through me. So we went and said, I could speak Hindi as well. So take his face off. It was such a situation. Like, his eyes was here, nose was here. It's such a situation. But I could see truly that God really can use me there in India. And my heart changed. I said, why do I want to go to West? They're so comfortable. They don't need Jesus anyhow. They're so hard. They so think about themselves, they don't get the word out. I didn't know about that time. Now I know, because living here for 27 years, 25 years. That's why I remember the past, the first love that I have. It says, here, I in Isaiah, this verse came to my mind at that point. Isaiah 61. You see, right that time, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Isn't it great? The leprosy has a bondage of sickness. Drug addict they have. So I've been giving that privilege because the Spirit of God is upon us, upon me. And then at that point I started thinking of staying here. God used me. We see miracles after miracle. And I had a dream and came to share with my pastor 4 months from now, God's going to move me from here. It says, can you share it to me? I said, God's going to use you in North America. Get ready and obey. And says, okay, I want to go. But I says, can I be baptized at this? I said, yeah, you can be baptized. So we went outside of New Delhi, but 800 people line up. You know, you got to bring your own backpack. You go 6 o'clock in the morning. Your turn comes 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So many people getting saved from different part of that nations. But when my time came and I had a couple of pastors by the river, you go down and I still remember they put my hands like this and it says, we're going to baptize you in Father and Son. And do you believe in this? I say, yes, yes, yes. And then in the name of Father and Son, baptize you. So they put me under water. And I had in this my mind, so this is a new beginning. So I'm dying in the grave and cleaning up and raising with him. So I says, I stay longer. And so I stay under the water long enough. And says, I stay as long as this. Get clean, man, a little bit. You know, I was so filthy. Then all of a sudden, opened my eyes a little bit. The water was so deep. Man, I better stay longer. So I could stay. I was a good swimmer and could stay under the water for long enough. And it says my brain starts sending signal. I need oxygen, oxygen, eject, eject. And my heart was saying, "Shut up! You put me in this trouble. I'm gonna stay as long as I get cleaned." You know. So that was in my mind. Stayed another couple of seconds. Oxygen, oxygen. If you don't give me oxygen, we're all going to die. All the organs going to shut down. Then I said, okay, I'll come, come. I came up and I looked 50 feet down. They're looking for me. So I slept. I slept through their hands and I was laying back on the river till my shoulder hit the rock or bushes. I said, hey, I'm here. I said, we are so glad you are alive. I thought we killed someone. Couldn't find. The water is so dirty, you know, they couldn't find us. And then, but on the end, I wanted, so as you see, God has a good sense of humor. He can change any personality, any lifestyle. And moved me like 4 months later. I came to escape again with Saudi Arabia passport. You know, I wish I had my passport picture to show it to you. It was so funny. I had this take this picture of putting white sheet and black hose over like a ring, a beard and mustache. I was a punk guy. I had a backpack and I had tight green jean, you know, green pants, put it with the freezer, barely could go till here. And I had the sneakers, and I was punk Saudis, you know, in the airport. And last $50, I had the fig ones and give it to the and stamp my passport and came to Canada. But the real game started when I came to Canada. The first group I joined was Jehovah Witness. You know, I didn't know. So they were great evangelism and they're standing up. So as I'm gifted as an evangelist, I said, why don't you guys talk to them? What, Jesus? Go talk to them. Later on, I found out, man, I'm in the wrong club. I used to go knock on the doors. They don't open. I said, why are you standing here? So I climb up on from the roof. They're sitting with one light knocking, open the door. We're coming in. I said, you don't give up with first knock or first minute or 2 minutes.
So when we meet Iranians,
or anyone that, say, is internationals among us here, is it safe to say that for the most part, they're seeking a better life? They're seeking for something, so they move to a land that there is freedom.
Yeah.
And should we, you know, can we be bold with them? Can we?
Yeah. You have to
approach them.
You have to be bold and gentle. You know, I remember myself when I was there, that Jesus loved that individual, even if he says no to Christianity. Mm-hmm. Because our hindsight is hidden. It's exposed to our loved ones. So that's where we need to be tender to our family. That's where it usually starts. But me and my wife, and she has a heart for evangelism too, and God had a good sense of humor bringing German and Iranian together. That's another thing. Well, another time. But we work as a team to invite them to our place. I really meet them and get to know them. Doesn't matter if it's Palestinian, Iranian, or from India. Get to know the individual, because people cannot resist love.
Yeah, relationship.
Relationship.
Don't be afraid of relationship.
Yeah.
With others, and I think there's a big mission field amongst us that we don't know about, and it's internationals that live among us. You know, whether you get a homestay student and you bring them to church and share the gospel, or you go and your kids are somewhere and you're there too, and you see someone wearing a full hijab, go talk to them. They're a person. They're a person. A human being that God wants to give the gospel to, give light to. And maybe many people are afraid to approach them. You don't have to be afraid to approach them. You just approach, say hello. And Iranian New Year's coming up for 21 days, is it? On 21st of March. And you can give gifts, especially you find out when the birthday is. Find out when their birthday is. Give them a gift. When you come from a different culture, a different nationality to Canada, they look at our, you know, Easter, Christmas, or other things like that, and they're, what is this? Unfamiliar. But they miss their holidays at home. They do miss their family. Yeah. They miss those things. If you know when their holidays are or ask when the birthday is, they will accept a gift. And they will accept that as a token of love from you and building a relationship and seeing kindness, real kindness.
Yeah. If you have we all have a gift of hospitality, but it depends how much we put it to work. Today, it's very hard to win other people. It's just be real. And as we invite them and see the relationship we have toward one another, and we have extra room too, and we tell them, even stay, you don't need to go home. Because back in Iran, I remember, we used to go to our aunt, we're coming. They knew we're going to stay for 1 week anyhow. Seriously, you don't go see aunt to stay for 2 hours. So we always prepare one room. You know, you guys more than welcome to stay. Hmm. You know, we will serve you.
When our people see your love and your grace from God, God changed their life.